Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
First NBA doubleheader tonight. Jason Tatum and the Celtics are at Madison Square Garden to take on Julius Randle, former Celtic Kemba Walker, and the Knicks, 7:30 Eastern. Then it's our primetime West Coast game with the reigning MVP Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets in Phoenix squaring off against Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and the Suns last season's Western Conference champs. Two great matchups to tip off the NBA season on ESPN and the app. It all starts with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern. A jam-packed hour of First Take up ahead. We'll hit on Ben Simmons' suspension. Who is really to blame and how will it affect the Sixers' chemistry? Plus, Pastor Spears has an issue with Stevens' A-list. And all the guys try to decipher Harden's impending free agency. Put that remote down and enjoy the show. Here we go. It wasn't the debut game that Russell Westbrook envisioned when he was traded to the Lakers back in August. The nine-time All-Star, two-time scoring champ, was held to just 8 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists in Tuesday's loss to the Warriors, matching his total number of games with single-digit points, rebounds, and assists from his previous 133 games combined. Marcus Spears is still here with us. Tim Legler now joining us.
My brother.
Good to see you.
Good to be here with y'all.
We go back a long, long ways. We used to do, and before NBA Countdown was called that,
yep.
It was called NBA Shootaround.
Okay.
And me and this brother
That's
was
right.
all together. I
right
miss you, brother.
Right from Times Square.
Man.
Good
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. Yes,
no
I don't
doubt.
Think I've seen you since Bristol. So
I know, I know.
You.
Good to see you,
it's
too.
It's good to see you.
I want to start with you.
Yeah.
How should the Lakers use Russ?
All right, so I'm going to start this by saying you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody in our industry that has been more effusive in their praise of Russell Westbrook than I have been throughout his career. I mean, I'm the guy that's constantly defending him mm-hmm. all the time because he leaves skin on the court, and
yes.
nothing do I admire more than that.
Right.
But in this situation, here's what I think, and I said something this morning, and it's just kind of top of my head said, he's not going to find his rhythm for the next 8 months. It might get so bad, he's going to lose so much rhythm. I said, he might forget how to dance, right? Because all rhythm is going to be gone as the third guy on an offense with two guys that dominate the ball to that extent.
Okay.
So is he still an elite-level talent? Yes. Is he still an MVP-caliber talent?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In this role, he is going to struggle to such an extent. I think he's going to post. If he stays with the same minutes as they laid him out last night with those guys, lowest field goal percentage of his career is going to happen this year. Worst free throw percentage of his career is going to happen this year. And the worst three-point percentage, which he's never been a three-point shooter anyway, will happen this year. Because he's going to constantly be picking up the crumbs for what's left in this offense. So my suggestion, and he's not going to do this because I don't think he could wrap his head around it. If he came off the bench, okay, with the second unit on this team and played with a guy like Carmelo Anthony, he can thrive in that role, as can Melo, because, look, Russ did that with a, you know, pure score to Kevin Durant, and that's Melo doesn't need Russ to do much for him. Melo can get his own. Russ can get his own. But he can then, most of the game, look like the Russell Westbrook and play like the Russell Westbrook. Now, if he made his mind and committed to doing that and wrap his head around that, Stephen A., first of all, landslide sixth man of the award winner. He might average a triple-double off the bench. First time in NBA history. Like, he could do that if he put his mind to it. He won't. Because that's a status thing. I think that's something he just would not be able to accept at this stage of his career. But as a result, he's going to have a lot of nights like he had last night. And he's going to be trying to figure out, how do I impact this game and stay true to myself, who I am as a player? Yeah, he's going to go run down 10 rebounds because of his energy. He'll commit to a certain extent defensively. He can make plays. There's a part of his game, man. It's just attack at the rim. This is what I do. I live here. If he's on the court with LeBron James, LeBron James is the point guard. Anthony Davis gets the rest of the offense through him. Where does that leave him? He's not a spot-up shooter. Where is he in the offense?
That's a fair.
He's going to look like he is last night. Come off the bench, but finish the game with those guys? Maybe that's his best role.
Before I give my spiel, let me ask you this question. When you talk about him coming off the bench, who's starting then?
I would put in, you could either put in Rondo or you could put in Kendrick Nunn. I think either of the guys. Because Rondo doesn't need the opportunities I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. He exists for one reason. Make dudes look good.
Okay.
He's not going to care about that. Or you put in a guy like a Kendrick Nunn who could play a little bit more off the ball and just be a scorer.
I wanted to go there. I wanted to go there with you because I wanted to, before I said what I had to say. First of all, you and I both know ain't no way in hell Russell Westbrook doing that. So let's just make sure that we let the public know.
Right.
There is no way in hell that Russell Westbrook is coming off the bench this year. All right, think Allen Iverson in that regard. When he first departed for Philly and Detroit, he wanted to start, and Rip Hamilton was like, I ain't coming off no damn bench. Rich Hamilton refused to come off the bench. That's where that friction in Motown took place, because Rip Hamilton wasn't having that. And he was right, because he was a stout shooter, big-time shooter, not to mention the fact he was an NBA champion. Why the hell should he come off the bench, even if it was for the great Allen Iverson? Rip Hamilton wasn't having it, okay? So let's get that out the way. Russell Westbrook ain't doing that. That's number one. Number two. They can't coexist with each other, Rondo and Russell Westbrook, on the floor together, because on the floor together for 7 minutes, they were minus 15. Mm-hmm. So we know how bad that was. When it was them two and Melo on the floor together, I think they were like a minus 13. I mean, it was pretty bad. So we understand that. Here's where it becomes a bit challenging, because Russell Westbrook, you know, is not a good shooter. He can hit some jump shots occasionally, but he is not a good shooter. This is the part about his ego where it's almost justifiable, because I don't consider him selfish. I don't consider him a bad teammate. I think some of the things that people have said about him, I think, is cruel. And I don't blame him for having an attitude when people are trying to attack his character, because that's not fair to him. And I will acknowledge that. He leaves it all on the court. He goes all out.
Agreed.
But here's the problem. When you struggle to shoot, particularly in the system that he's in now, where he has to be differential, get the ball out of his hands, fellas, inside of 2 or 3 seconds like he did last night. I'm going to say this over these national airwaves. You're going to get your ass kicked. Think about this. You got Steph Curry. You got Damian Lillard. You got Chris Paul. You got Luka. You understand? Jamal Murray and these boys. Understand that if you're Russell Westbrook, that ego is justified, because, wait a minute, these brothers are going to be putting up buckets now. So since you're accustomed to doing the same, to have to now be in a system where you're deferential, obviously to LeBron and AD, you're going to find yourself getting smoked by other people playing your position, because that's how the narrative is going to be. We could talk about trapping, people getting the ball out of their hands, other people getting the ball, etc. But the bottom line is they're going to look at you, and they're going to look at the other team's point guards, and they're going to see them putting up buckets. You're going to look at the box score, no, you not. And as a result, it ain't going to fly. So somehow, some way, the Lakers have to figure this out, Swaggoo. And if anybody could do it, it's LeBron. But damn, asking Russell Westbrook to come off the bench when he's been a starter and a finisher his entire career, and the first time you are in L.A., your hometown, coming off the bench, I got a better shot of walking on water. I got a better shot of walking on water.
I've seen you try that a couple times.
How about that? Go ahead, Swaggoo. Go ahead.
Listen, I think it goes back to both of y'all points, and with legs. It's mentality for Russ. He going to have to lean into the latter part of his line when you start talking about assists and rebounds, as opposed to the point scoring, and allow that to be facilitated by LeBron. I could see Russ running point with Bron and Anthony Davis on the floor. I think Bron is mature enough to understand that I need to have Russ involved in this game and maybe tell Russ, hey, your role changes, but you still in this lineup. That's what I thought this would be when it first was announced that he was going to LA. Look, it is crazy for anybody to think that Russell Westbrook didn't know he was going to have to sacrifice with what he was coming to. This is about running the offense through AD. This is about LeBron facilitating, and it's about Russ finding his way. But I'm thinking, I hear Legs say that, come off the bench and play with the twos. Yes, conventionally, yes. Because what did we say about the Lakers? When LeBron leaves the floor, there's a drop-off. And then Rondo had a phenomenal bubble. He had a phenomenal way of facilitating. He got AD involved. He understood the flow. So I already think you got your second guy coming off of the bench. It boils down to what both of you said. What is Russ willing to do? And if Russ is going to be selfish and say, I want to be the triple-double guy, we are all sitting here with a mute point because it ain't going to work. And we all know that it's not going to work. But if he wants to lean into assists and rebounds and allow himself to be a third option offensively, and LeBron says, hey, man, you facilitate. I'm a better off-the-ball player. I'm a better shooter. And then when we get in particular times and certain situations in games, you know LeBron is going to have the damn ball. And Russ may have to go to the bench and allow somebody else to come on. But I think that's how you maneuver through this season until they figure out this rapport.
Because I think to your point, look, he went there for a reason. And what he's going to say and what he probably felt internally was he wants one of these badly. That's why he ended up there, okay? Problem is this. You can say it. You can change your role. You can do certain things. We all are alone in the darkest recesses of our own minds. What's in his mind when he leaves the arena every night and he drives back to his crib? Because what you just said, I just chased Damian Lillard, Steph Curry, right, all these elite point guards around. I still got to guard those dudes, but they're not having to guard me and respect me and honor me in the same way they used to. So, yeah, okay, maybe they, at some point they get hot. I'm part of a winning team. I got a great chance to win a championship. Does that fulfill him personally as a player? So is he genuinely happy? It's one thing to say, I'll do anything it takes. It's another thing when you're alone in your own thoughts. Are you genuinely fulfilled
and
that you have sacrificed that much of who you were as a player?
And is it a waste of your talent?
In fairness to you, to articulate, to elocute, you know, to really illuminate your point, rather, there's no evidence that it has been the case. He was in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. He was the man. He went to Houston. He made it very, very clear. He doesn't want to sit around and be a spectator to the great James Harden. He's great in his own right, and he wants to play the way that he wants to play. This is what he told Rockets management and ownership. Then you end up in Washington. Obviously, you wasn't asked to take a step back, even though it was Bradley Beal's team. They brought you there for a reason, and he was still allowed to excel. And now here you are in L.A. with LeBron and Anthony Davis. So, again, him asking him to step back, I'm not saying he won't do it. I'm saying he never has.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Star point guard Ben Simmons has been suspended one game for conduct detrimental to the team. The Philadelphia 76ers announced Tuesday that means Simmons will be out for the Sixers opener in New Orleans tonight. Simmons was thrown out of practice Tuesday by coach Doc Rivers for not being engaged in practice. Woj reporting that lack of participation and engagement by Simmons at practice has been a theme. Okay, gentlemen, Tim Legler, Stephen A. Smith, I think you know a thing or two about Philly. Legs, I'll start with you. What impact will Ben Simmons have on the Sixers?
Well, listen, right now the Philadelphia 76ers have put themselves in a position where this is not going to end well for them anyway you slice it. Because to me, there's three options. First option is continue to suspend him as long as his attitude stays in this place and keep him away from the team. Fine him, bleed him out, try to flush him out financially, whatever you're going to do. That's not a great option because, number one, it's a major distraction. Number two, you just took an all-star caliber talent off the floor and you didn't replace him with anything.
Right.
So that's not obviously a good option.
Right.
Next option, you do what I said, which is squeeze him financially, force him back to the court, which it seems like what they're trying to do right now, and you end up with a guy that you know is only there for the money. He is not invested emotionally in winning and losing. He has lost the respect of the guys in that locker room. He is probably not going to be fully committed even in terms of his body language and his effort and whatever. Well, you can't win if that's the case either. That's impossible for Doc Rivers to navigate that.
Mm-hmm.
Option three, you move him. Now, the problem is, right now, they seem like their resolve is we aren't doing that because we're not getting back what we want right now, which we think is a young, perennial, all-star caliber player. All right, so those are the three options. None of them are good for Philadelphia, so it's going to dramatically impact their team until this gets resolved and Ben Simmons is gone. Now, let me back up for a second. Stephen A., the day after the Atlanta series ended.
Yeah.
The very next day.
The very next day.
I went on the air, and I said right then, and I knew wherever you were, if you were watching, you were going to co-sign it, okay? Because I said, he can't ever play in Philly again, okay? And the reason is this. What you can't do in that market, ever show fear.
Absolutely.
Doubt. Hesitation, fear of failure, whatever it was that it was going on. He had some wiring issues, man, going on between the ears. And it was a lot more than the one play that we keep showing. It was the entire series. He didn't take a shot in 5 fourth quarters as a starting point guard, okay?
Scared to death.
Everyone saw it. He was exposed on a level that few athletes are. And in that market, it's not survivable. It's just not, because here's what's going to happen. Even if Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid didn't make the comments the next day, which seems to be what led to this point, okay? Felt like he was thrown under the bus. They didn't have my back. I want out. Made it personal.
Yeah.
Even if that didn't happen, I think Ben Simmons knew. He played there for 4 years. I can't run back out into Wells Fargo based on what they just saw, because that's going to resurface again at some point.
Yeah.
And they're going to start in the fans, the media, and they're never going to let up next time. Ben knew that. Now, he can use those comments as an excuse. When you add it all up, he made it clear. I can't play there. Better for me not to be there. Better for you to not have me there. They didn't take it into account, Stephen A. I put it more on the Sixers. You had to be more aware. It was going to get here. It was going to get here. It was inevitable. And they allowed it to now permeate the season.
Here's where I disagree with you. And you're not wrong when you say, for the most part, I would have co-signed. Here's what I was thinking, though. The performance was so pathetic in that series against Atlanta that he had to come back to try to make amends at some point until he was moved, because you were going to have an abundance of executives on opposing teams using that against him to try to hose the Sixers out of a big-time product like him for 20 cents on the dollar. Which, and I get that from the Sixers, because that's the verbiage they use, 20 cents on the dollar, 40 cents on the dollar. You know how it is. And that's what they say. And I said, you got to get more, because I believe this brother is, he can average 75% from the free throw line, and this brother could average 25 a game. If he had any kind of perimeter shot, I'm talking about 10 feet, 15 feet, this dude could be like LeBron James 2.0, because I think his skill set, ball handling skills, passing ability, playmaking ability, finishing at the basket, and the defensive prowess, I think makes him that lethal. You can't let him go for nothing or something close to nothing. You can't do that. So if you're the Sixers, where did they mishandle it? They mishandled it because they didn't convince him to come back while committing to trading him. They tried, as some people say, they tried to strong him. You got a contract, got 4 years, $147 million left on your deal. You got to come back here. We'll move you. We'll move you. Just work with us so we can get you up out of here. They should have done that. Why didn't they do that? Could it be because everybody's not on the same page? Because everybody's been pointing to, we looking at Doc Rivers. You know what ticks me off about this? Doc Rivers ain't running the 76ers franchise. That would happen to be Daryl Morey. I actually thought Elton Brand was doing a good job. I don't know why they felt they needed Daryl Morey. But nevertheless, Daryl Morey has a damn good reputation as an executive, okay? So you bring him to Philadelphia. We ain't heard anything from him. Why not? You the one that got to move him. You the one that got to get on the phone and you got to approve these deals. Sixers ownership is coming to you. Where the hell is Daryl Morey in all of this? We got to find out. Because to me, his thinking is where all of this comes. And here's the reason why it's so important, Molly. And Tim knows this. It's not because of just getting guys that we look at and we say we could play, he could play. Daryl Morey's a different beast. He likes a particular kind of player.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? It's not.
What kind?
You averaging a triple. Like, for example, Russell Westbrook. You could have had Russell. I'm not saying you could, but hypothetically, you could have had Russell Westbrook. Nope, not for Daryl Morey. That's not what he wants. And he had him in Houston, but that's not Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey wants somebody that can light it up from long range. He's like the executive version of D'Antoni. He wants a James Harden. He wants a Damian Lillard. He doesn't want just anybody. And so as a result of that, that's what makes it hard. That might have influenced Ben Simmons you know, just dogged approach to all of this, knowing how Daryl Morey could be because he's repped by Rich Paul, who clearly knows how Daryl Morey could be, and that may have played a role. Either way you slice it, no, the Sixers didn't have handle this in pristine fashion. But I ultimately hold the level of accountability to Ben Simmons because Ben Simmons did something that was absolutely unforgivable. You messed up, and it looks like you pointing the finger at them. Whether you are or not is not the issue. It looks like you're pointing the finger at the city of Philadelphia. And as Tim just alluded to, we know how Philadelphia could be even when Philadelphia might be wrong. And God help you if they're right, and on, which they are.
On top of it all, he's not even catching the break the Eagles are winning right now. Okay?
That's right.
They're angry in the city of Philadelphia, okay? And they look at a guy that got his money.
Yep.
Because Tobias Harris said something that I completely disagreed with. What and I understand he was trying to put a positive spin on it. He said, players understand business. When he walks back in the door, business.
Nope.
This isn't business. This isn't business. I played with guys that held out, star players, okay? Because they thought they were underpaid.
All right.
Players do get that because you say to yourself, hell, that could be me next time.
That's right.
I get that.
That's right.
That's not what this
That's
is. This
not Ben
is
Simmons.
Personal.
Right.
Personal. He has made it clear. Who are the two most important people in the organization? Doc Rivers, Joel Embiid, in my opinion.
That's right.
He made it clear. I don't want to play for you, and I want to play with you.
That's right.
And he told them.
And Ben Simmons
flew out to his house, and he told them right to their
face. To their face.
And this is why I hold him accountable, Stephen A. They still, unless you're saying, they knew all along, like, okay, I know where he's at. That's not going to change. But we still got to end up with the deal we want.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Let's revisit Stephen A's top five teams in the NFL through week six, which he revealed yesterday here on First Take. Got the Cards, the Cowboys, the Rams, the Bucks, the Ravens.
Yeah.
No bad man.
Yes.
No Bills. Marcus Spears. About me, Marcus Spears. This is about you.
It's not about Marcus either. It's about me. Yo, swag go. Swag go. The key word is fluid. It's fluid. You understand? Week to week, that's what you're doing. You know, we'll get to all of that other stuff later. But week to week, after those Sunday games, those Monday games,
that's called a covering my behind.
Okay, you go to
fluid,
it. You
AKA
go to it.
It's covering my behind.
It's fluid. What's the problem, Marcus?
Okay,
what's the problem?
Okay. This how Denzel say it. This how Denzel say it, Stephen A. Okay. All right. Let me attack this list right quick because you tripping right now, big dog. First of all, didn't the Buccaneers beat the Dallas Cowboys?
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
So in your fluid list.
Season opener.
I don't give a damn if it's the season opener. You give
matters.
The headway to the team that won the head-to-head matchup. That's where your list went wrong at initially when I was watching yesterday.
I disagree.
Right? You could disagree, but I'm here to critique the damn list. So let me talk about what's happening. The Buccaneers should be up there at number two, okay? How you don't have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers above the Dallas Cowboys in a head-to-head matchup with the same record and they putting up the same type of offensive prowess is crazy to me. You sell all of this stuff to everybody else, but you know it don't fly with me because you always want to throw this fluid out there. The list is fluid, and I understand it, but it ain't fluid in this particular week. You got to get the damn list right and stop using fluid as an excuse when the list roll. So the Bucs need to go up. My dad, didn't the Rams get blasted by the Arizona Cardinals?
Yes, they did.
Didn't they do it? So why would you have them number three over the Baltimore Ravens, who's 5-1, that just dominated the Los Angeles Chargers, who was on your damn list a couple weeks ago? Why wouldn't you have the Ravens?
Why are we going there? It's week to week. It's week to week. Don't even bring up a team that ain't on the list. Go ahead. Keep making your point.
Every time you're doing this fluid list, because it ain't like water. It's more like oil. It's getting stopped up everywhere. The bottom line is when you got teams on here that make sense, but your arrangement, I don't want you putting nobody music together. I don't want you leading the orchestra. I don't want you using your talent to rank things in order to set somebody in the right way. So here's the deal. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers should be 2 behind the Arizona Cardinals, okay? The Dallas Cowboys should be 3. The Baltimore Ravens should be 4. And what you doing with the Rams? It's an argument for the Bills, but I can see the loss to the Tennessee Titans weighing into that equation. So let's go ahead and put the Rams at 5. Rearrange the damn list, stop setting my Cowboys downfall.
May I speak? May I speak? First of all, you ain't got to be so disrespectful. Monitor your tone. That's number one. Number two, I got news for you. As valuable as water is, let's not sniff on oil. You can't put water in a gas tank, baby. You need oil to make that bad boy run. Gas, really. But you know what I'm saying. That's number two. Number three, let's dissect this. You got the Cardinals undefeated. We ain't talking about that, right?
Agreement.
When you talk about the Rams, okay, when we talk about the Cowboys at number two, I'm looking at the fact that the Bucs thereafter went up against the Rams and got shellacked, okay, in L.A. against the Rams. So a bottom line is, from that perspective, Tampa Bay have fallen off a little bit. That's where that comes from, okay? A little bit later on in the season, a couple of weeks later, okay? When we look at the Cowboys, they had the opening loss, and they've been slowing ever since, all of these 5 weeks, ever since, with Dak Prescott looking like an MVP candidate, with Zeke Elliott looking fresher and more spry, Tony Pollard out of the backfield, even without Michael Gallup. You've got guys like Wilson and Schultz that have come in to join Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, and they've been balling. And even without DeMarcus Lawrence and these cats, you've got this guy Mekhi Parsons, and of course the defensive player of the year, Trayvon Diggs, flat out balling out.
Yeah.
And so when I'm looking at it from that perspective, that's my justification for the Cowboys being at number two. I'm looking at the Rams at number three because I'm thinking about Matthew Stafford and how they've looked, and the only hiccup they've had was against the one undefeated team in the National Football League. When I look at the Buccaneers, this is an appropriate place for them because they're led by Tom Brady and that offense, and we see what they're doing despite their injuries in the secondary on the defensive side of the ball. And when I go to the Ravens, we see what Lamar Jackson's doing. Buffalo's got 2 losses on their record. That's why they're not on their list. I'm looking at Green Bay. They struggled over the last 2 weeks, albeit wins. When I looked at them squeezing by Cincinnati, and I see them beating Chicago, but Aaron Rodgers not even throwing for 200
yards. You feel good about the Packers not being on there?
All I'm saying is they're coming. But for this week, with a top 5 in that order, I think it works. But again, it's fluid. It's fluid. Okay, that's what I'm saying. It's fluid. It's all right.
Marcus, you're going to let him go. All he does is talk about that bad man, and all week he's been talking about how he doesn't know if he trusts Lamar Jackson when it matters most.
Because
he trusts Josh Allen, but he doesn't have the Bills and the Packers, and he puts the Ravens in there. So
Because Stephen A. want to fool all America. Stephen A. don't give a damn about the Green Bay Packers. All he care about is Aaron Rodgers. And everybody that's arguing why the Packers ain't on this list need to identify that it ain't about the Green Bay Packers. It ain't never been about the Green Bay Packers.
It's been about
the quarterback. That's why they not on the list.
He's a bad man.
I'm glad it took me to explain that.
Because it's always about shine with Stephen A.
Listen. Just because all of y'all got Molly wrapped around y'all thumbs, you know, she loves y'all just sitting there betraying me every chance she gets, trying to sit up there. She collaborate with you. She collaborate with Jeff Sada and Keyshawn. She collaborate with Mike Irvin. And don't get me started with her and Mina Kimes. I mean, my Lord, this is the way they try to gang up on me. But it ain't going to work. This A-list is pretty damn good, okay? Y'all know it. Fess up to it
and just
do so with the understanding. It's fluid.
It's solid, but you can't make great music without the right arrangement, okay? Yeah. And your song is a one-day wonder, and then everybody going to turn the damn radio off.
But it ain't Empire State of Mind on one of Jay-Z's joints, but it's pretty damn good.
It's good.
It's pretty damn good, all right? Let me be very, very clear.
My goodness.
Let me be very clear.
Best flow.
That's right.
All right.
It's fluid.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. The Bucks kicked off their defense of the championship by routing the Nets 127-104 last night behind 32-17 from the Greek Freak. For the Nets, Kevin Durant dropped 32-11, James Harden adding 20 in a losing effort. After the game, James Harden was asked about missing the October 18th deadline to sign an extension with the Nets. He says Nets fans have nothing to worry about. Take a listen.
Honestly, I've just been focused on getting healthy, and getting my body right, and then, preparing for a season. It's a great season. The contract, the money is going to be there. I don't plan on leaving, this organization and the situation that we have. So my focus, honestly, is just focusing on a season and winning a championship.
Okay, Tim Legler. So, didn't sign. Nets fans have nothing to worry about. Do you believe everything he's saying?
Yes. I'm going to take him at face value. Mm-hmm. Because I'm thinking to myself, could a dude really be looking at other pastures before he's really done anything here? All right. I mean, that's what it is? Oh, it's just a way station on the way to the next stop, Stephen A.? I think genuinely what he just said is true. Based on what he dealt with last year and the way his season ended and out there on one leg and how disappointing that must have been that he wasn't out there to help Kevin Durant, and obviously Kyrie was also not there. As disappointing as that was, I do believe him, and he's had some other issues physically at that time of the year. He was focused on getting himself ready, his mind right, getting ready to come back in and try to lead this group to a championship along with KD. I think to myself, he's happy here, Stephen A., as long as KD is. I think some people are playing into the fact, well, what if something goes south here with Kyrie? If they don't work it out, he doesn't get vaccinated, he doesn't play, they move him. And people are thinking that could be a trigger, an impetus for James Harden leaving. I don't know why those two things would be connected. I think he would believe, as long as I got KD, and it's still his team, it's been his team from day one, it's his ball, his show, he dictates possessions, he's got what he wants in that, and he's got Kevin Durant there. I think he believes that they're going to be committed enough to try to always put the pieces around him to give him the best chance to win a championship. So I say, yes, I do think that James Harden is happy here. And I do think right now he's solely focused on having a full, healthy season and seeing what these two dudes can do. And I think in his mind, he thinks they're going to win a championship this year.
First of all, let's be very, very clear. To answer the question, do I believe James Harden? Hell no. I don't believe a damn thing he just said. Now, I'm not saying that in a derogatory or acerbic fashion aimed at him. I'm just saying I don't believe him when it comes to this particular situation. James Harden has an opportunity to explore free agency for the first time in his career at the end of the season by not signing that contract extension, okay? Why wouldn't you do it? Because you ain't sure about the situation you're in. I would remind y'all, this is the same James Harden. You remember this. He's in Houston. He has an opportunity to sign a two-year $103 million extension, turns it down. He didn't tell anybody at that particular moment he wanted out. He waited. They played through the season. What happens? Ultimately, he ends up wanting out, okay? In this particular situation in Brooklyn, James Harden ain't signed up for this stuff with Kyrie. You don't know what kind of distractions Kyrie is going to cause to this franchise. We know what he's done already, but we don't know how bad it could end up getting. And if you're James Harden, you might find yourself, I'm not saying you will, but you might find yourself in a situation where you're like, I ain't signed up for this. This ain't what we were supposed to be doing here. What the hell's going on? And so, yeah, if you are a baller, you gotta love playing with KD. It doesn't get much better than that because the brother is unselfish, he's selfless, and he's a bona fide, big-time superstar in the NBA game of basketball. Bottom line, we get all of that. But in Philadelphia, if you've got Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid and a coach in Doc Rivers, even though Doc Rivers, a championship has escaped him, he won the championship in 08 with Boston, took him back to the finals in Game 7, lost to the Los Angeles Lakers and Kobe Bryant, God rest his soul. Ever since then, you had your 7 years in the Clippers organization. Couldn't get them to the conference finals. Now you're in Philly. You came one game short of getting them to the conference finals. So Doc Rivers got some stuff to prove here, too. Let's remember that Daryl Morey has something to prove. Let's remember that Daryl Morey and James Harden together got unfinished business. Let's not ignore any of that. And I don't think it's an accident that James Harden hasn't signed this extension. I'd be shocked if Kyrie still got offered an extension after all of this nonsense that's been going on. But James Harden has had that there waiting for him, and he didn't sign it. Why not?
I got one question for you.
Sure.
Don't you think, based on the Kyrie element of this, where you said James Harden's looking around, might look around at one point and go, I didn't sign up for this, all this distraction with Kyrie and this nonsense. Don't you think far before it got to that point that Brooklyn Nets would have already had this conversation with James Harden, and they'll address the Kyrie situation. Of the three of them, Kyrie is clearly the most expendable.
That's right.
Okay, and
totally agree.
So they'll do whatever it would take to make sure that it never got to that point.
Yeah, but here's
for
my
James
question,
Harden.
Tim. Here's my question. What more can they do? Kyrie's not there. They made a decision. You don't get to be a part-timer. You here full-time or not at all. So they've already made their decision. They've made the decision about Kyrie Irving. If you ain't going to be vaccinated, you ain't going to be playing on this team because you'll be violating New York City mandates, and we ain't going for it. A lot of people, a lot of us didn't want to take the vaccine, but guess what? We had to. You should be there as well. That's their attitude towards them. And they're saying, you ain't doing this, you ain't playing. Kyrie said, all right, then I ain't playing. So it's really on James Harden and Kevin Durant right now, along with Marks, along with Steve Nash and the rest of the organization. I'm saying to you, if it's any other situation, that's different. The fact that Philadelphia has Daryl Morey, and we know how James Harden feels about playing for Daryl Morey. We know what kind of perks Daryl Morey threw in his direction. There was the James Harden treatment, and then there was everybody else in Houston. We understand all of that. And to James Harden's credit, Houston didn't mind because he'd play hurt. He didn't want to miss games. He gave it all he had, the whole bit.
Kevin Durant's not there.
I'm saying that. All I'm saying is Daryl Morey, but Joel Embiid is. Tobias Harris is not a scrub. Maxey and those boys are not scrubs. They can play. And if you add a James Harden, okay, James Harden doesn't necessarily have to be differential because you don't even have to be differential with Joel Embiid.
I think you said it yourself. It doesn't get better than playing with Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And if I'm James Harden, to me, that's going to weigh heavily.
I agree that that's what it should be.
Yeah.
I'm saying to you, the debate here is, do we trust that James Harden feels that way?
Yeah.
I don't know that because of Daryl Morey.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Well, Stephen A., your Knicks tip off the regular season tonight.
We hit.
I know.
We hit.
You're going to be in the Garden for the game. Knicks got bounced out of the first round.
Yeah.
I think it was by Trae Young and the Hawks, if I remember, from last season.
Yes.
I love your face right now.
Yeah.
I wish I could take a picture of it. Oh, will they make it out of the first round this year? Because the last time that happened, I think, was like 2012.
We
don't
hit.
Even remember.
We here. I'm going with that.
That wasn't
I'm
an answer.
I want yes or no to that question.
Yes.
Yes. Now, let me say this. In all seriousness, you got to understand, when you've suffered as much as us Knicks fans have suffered, you crawl before you walk, baby. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, damn, it was so bad.
Yeah.
It was just a relief. I mean, them making the playoffs felt like a championship.
The first round
felt like a championship round for us. That's all that was. But anybody that knows basketball knew Atlanta was the better team. They just are, okay? There's no doubt about that. Here's what I would tell you to watch out for the New York Knicks, and this is why I believe in them.
Okay.
They're going to take the regular season more seriously than most teams would. You know, Tom Thibodeau, that's just how he rolls.
Yep.
And so as a result, you're going to sneak up on a couple of teams that might, in preparation for the playoffs, might not prioritize the regular season, Tim, as much as you would like.
Yeah.
I think that's going to help them. And my eyes are on not Kemba Walker, not Fournier, because they're clearly an upgrade with what the Knicks had with Bullock and those boards, to go with Derrick Rose, who you retained, and the others.
And R.J. Barrett has gotten better, too, even though him and Julius Randle need to learn to use their right hand. Mitchell Robinson is the key for me. Okay. He's a rim protector, a shot blocker, and a rebounder. Legit 7'1", 270, 280. Brother can run. He can jump. He blocks shots. He's defensive-minded. I think that elevates the New York Knicks defensively exponentially. And I think as a result, could I find them if you ended up being a fifth seed? Could you beat a fourth seed? Yes, you could. And that's why I say New York Knicks got a chance to get out of the first round, and I'm going to err on the side of optimism. I'm going to tell you that the New York Knicks, I'm going to tell you that the New York Knicks are going to advance to the semifinals of the Eastern Conference this year. That's what I'm going with right now, Tim.
Well,
that's
what I'm going with. Listen. This is how far they've come. If we went back 2 years ago and we said, sitting here in mid-October of 2021, that the New York Knicks would be better than the Boston Celtics. If you had told me that 2 years ago.
No way.
With those two young forwards in Boston, right?
And
as much
Brown.
As I believed in Brassley, never would have believed it.
Right.
I actually think they are going to be. Unless Ime Udoka has a great grasp in year one, right?
Which is a chance.
It is.
He's got good pedigree.
And he puts wrinkles in their offense that because that got stale with Brad Stevens, and now you got fresh view, fresh eyesight on this, and you get something more out of him. I think the Knicks are going to be better. But I'd love Mitchell Robinson. I'll disagree with you on this. The key is Kemba Walker, man. It's Kemba. And what happened in Boston wasn't just health. That played a part. It was also I could see a guy that just kept looking around going, when can I be Kemba? Because the guy in Charlotte was different than the guy we saw in Boston because the offense was built around these two forwards. So Kemba spent a lot of the night trying to figure out, when can I go be the guy that I was in Charlotte?
You don't have to worry about that now.
That's what I'm saying. And he's going to be electrified. He's home. He wanted to be in the Garden. He brings that bounce and energy naturally. And I think Kemba Walker is going to have a huge year, and he's going to solidify that team, having a guy you can go to get things done late. Because Julius Randle, great as his season was, did struggle with that in the series against
Atlanta. But here's the deal. You had Derrick Rose there, who I think can still do some things if he's not exhausted.
Yeah.
He had no help at the point guard spot. You got that now in Kemba. You got a guy in Fournier who can move without the basketball or move with the basketball off a dribble drive penetration and got a pull-up jump shot. He has that capability. All right, so those two components are something that can't be ignored. The key to me is Julius Randle can't be out there. I'm not talking about not shooting the three because he can shoot it. He did it at a 40% clip last year. Respect what I'm seeing from him. But it can't be holding the ball for seconds at a time and trying to be a one-on-one dude. Be a man like you are. Take them brothers in the post or catch and shoot. Outside of that, leave all the ball handling stuff to the Derrick Rose, the Kemba Walkers of the world, and do it like that. And both him and R.J. Barrett, Julius Randle and R.J. Barrett, got to learn how to use their right hand. Got to be ambidextrous. Got
to
be.
Well, Tim Legler, it was great to see you, sir.
Great to be here.
I know you'll be back with us quite a bit, so great to have you with us. Stephen A., what time does the party start?
Oh, yeah, we're going to be all over the 6 o'clock Sports Center. At least 3 segments on the 6 o'clock Sports Center. And then NBA Countdown debuts 7 p.m. Eastern Time, live from Madison Square Garden. We here.
All right.
We here.
Expect some text messages
on
your performance. We'll see how you do.
New York, stand up.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.